Okay.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I've got
Yeah.
Arnold Quigley here, who is currently on a sojourn in
Yeah.
Scottsdale, Arizona, catching up with some old friends.
Yeah.
And Drifter, who you see on the screen, is going by the name William, which is his actual name. Hello, Drifter.
How you doing?
Yeah.
So these two guys are sharing with me this morning about life and catching up and sharing
Yeah.
Jesus with others. What it takes to share Christ, this paradigm that we're living in Him and He in us with people who have no idea, perhaps. You're
Yeah.
talking about maybe books, but I think and other resources that might be helpful, but I think really the you said it just before we started recording, Arnold, it's really a matter of what the Spirit is going to speak through us. And we have no idea ahead of time how to prepare for that.
Yeah.
It just comes out. It's so fun that
Yeah,
and
I think what we were just talking about, Jesus, before he left his disciples, and he said, I'll come back. I'm going to pour my spirit out on you. And he said, you're going to come up in all kinds of situations the rest of your life. And he said, in front of kings, you're going to have to testify and whatever.
Yes.
And he says, don't worry about it. I'll tell you what to say. I'll open your eyes. I'll open your ears, and just let me do that with you.
And
Right?
that is so what I want to say, alive. It's so full of energy. We throw books at people. We even quote scripture at people,
Yeah.
and that's almost like dead words. It doesn't have any impact. It doesn't penetrate. There's nothing like a live, a vibrant, living word at the moment, extemporaneous, spontaneous, whatever you want to call it, that just seems to be far better for people to receive, or they will accept it better, at least. Yeah, I enjoy those moments.
Yeah,
And
more and more for me too.
And we've grown up with in that era in which we considered that everything was a matter of academics. You have to read certain things, or you have to be aware of certain references and literature, and that's helpful. It's helpful. We've all been there. We each have accumulated those kinds of things in our background. But when it comes down to it, we really long for that alive word. That's something that we just go, bingo, that's I needed to hear that. I don't know about you guys, but that's been so made apparent to me in these last several weeks. I think with all the controversy and the ability to pass off disinformation in our society, people are very skeptical of something that you read,
Yeah.
and or even just and listen to in social media. But when you hear the living word, you know it's Christ. You know it's God. Have you ever had one of
Yeah.
those? I'm sure you have. You tell me, have you had those experiences where you heard in your spirit a living word of God?
Yeah, at times I have
Yeah.
to.
And do you, Drifter, do you remember them?
At times, for a while, and then of course, try to recall them right offhand. The biggest one that I remember was being laid out in the spirit for like 3 hours, and gosh, I did not want that to end.
Yeah, right.
I
What
just
were you hearing, Drifter, in those moments?
it was so relaxing. It was just a peace and enjoyable. I thought to myself so many times just how good it was. To me, I compared it to even better than sex. So.
Okay. All right. And too much information, perhaps, for some of our audience.
Yeah.
Well, it was that good. I mean, then I remembered, I think it was Peter that wanted to build the tents for everybody.
I can't say describe it.
You said
more.
Peter built tents?
There was with, maybe it was, no, it had to be Peter, I think it was, on the mountain.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's build a shrine here, Jesus. Transfiguration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I think it was, Peter. This is too good. We didn't want to leave.
Right.
Dennis, I almost every morning I get up and take a walk. Julie and I get up at different times usually, and so we walk later in the day together, but in the morning I usually walk by myself, and it's it's a time when I try to turn off other, something that I'm listening to in my headset or whatever, just walk, and my talk it starts with Jesus himself. So Jesus, you and I are one together today. And open my ears, open my eyes to what you and Father together as one will have me hear or see or do today. And in fact, even just before this phone call this morning, that was my prayer.
Sure.
Sometimes when I talk, I'll talk on it. It sounds like I'm kind of babbling back and forth. It doesn't sound right, but you're right. With the Spirit, being one with the Spirit of Christ, people can see it. No matter if you're stuttering or if you're not. If it doesn't seem to make sense, it starts to come out in your body language, in your smile, and your love, and your peace, and your and your encouragement to someone else.
I often think that the nonverbal is more powerful than the verbal, Arnold.
Yeah,
catch it.
Think of the qualities of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering. Mm-hmm. Gentleness, goodness, on and on. I mean, what are all those? All of those, those are God words. They're not angry words. They're not condemning. They're not blaming. They're not judgmental.
You make a good point. None of those are really verbal language.
Yeah.
They're you're right. They're God expressions. They're his word, cloaked in an attitude or behavior or an expression. That is a real powerful insight.
Gentleness. You don't speak gentleness, you do. No. Gentleness.
Yes.
You express it.
You're right. I agree, and there may be words that you can speak gently, but you're right, the most prominent is wordless. It's an expression of a kind expression, a touch, or whatever, just our attitude.
Yeah. I mean, loving someone, you can say, I love you so much. But, a big smile on your face and maybe a tap on the shoulder, it says, everybody, I love you. Any one of those words, joy, peace.
How often our wives, those of us who are married, are often reminded of that. We'll say, I love you, and the response sometimes, you sure don't act like it.
Don't act like it.
How come I'm not feeling it?
Drifter, does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, guys, that is so rich. But that's how the Spirit is communicating through us.
Yeah.
And to us. I mean, we're not only the ones giving it out, we're receiving it as well from others around us.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be attentive to that and be aware of that. When someone expresses somehow, a response to us. I just got back from a couple of weeks in Midwest, Nashville, Tennessee, primarily. And every time my wife and I travel into that area, region of our U.S., we are always impressed with the attitude of people, particularly in the hospitality sector.
You know, southern it's comfort, just hospitality, right?
Have a blessed day, ma'am or sir.
Yeah.
What can we do for you? And it's just, it blows you away because you don't hear or feel that out here in the Northwest so much.
Yeah, you know, not so much in Southern California.
No.
Get me wrong, they're beautiful, wonderful, loving people everywhere. But we live in a world today where that's not coming from the Spirit of God.
No, not at all. Just as a contrast, as an illustration. It's not to say that we don't have people, genuine folk here that we live with and aren't on the West Coast, but you don't hear it that much. Mm. But acts of kindness are rare in some places. Yeah. So, wow, I catch that a lot. I think about how God is working through me, or that is Christ is working through me, or is expressing himself through me. And so often in my life, I always thought that had, and there was some agenda to it. But it comes at and through me at times when I'm not even aware, or I think back, that come from? And that's exciting. That's the living, active word of Christ in our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you and I were talking, I think on last Wednesday, Dennis, I think the comment was made, we wouldn't want to live our life anymore any other way. Wouldn't want, to me, living with the Spirit of God is such a wonderful, a joy. It's more of a joyous part of my life than I've experienced joy throughout my life, but this is a period of time that I'm really realizing how wonderful God's love is, to live with it. And not have to go through a ritual of getting up in the morning and spending a certain amount of time in the Word, going through the same dialogue of prayer, going about your day, maybe forgetting about it until some crisis comes along, and then say, "Oh God, help me in this." You know,
Right.
I mean, to me, it's all joy. Count it all joy, as Paul said.
This living with Christ in us, it is hard to explain how it is so unplanned, spontaneous, in all the ways, is more exciting than we've ever had. I'm with you, Arnold. My Christianity, my spirituality, my joy in the Lord was usually something that occurred after I had tried to pump myself up or pray long hours or being in the best worship experience in church, public worship you could get into. Sure. Look back at those times, and yes, there were points at which I think I could feel a lift, but man, to walk every day in this life with Christ, just as I am, and watch what he does, and not without any pretense or planning on my part, and just seeing how he lives through me.
Right.
And as you say, enjoying it.
Sure.
Wow. Thank you, God. Yeah. And it's not, we're not picturing a rosy life at all. You said, and there are circumstances and challenges, but we face those and say, okay, God, how's this one going to work out? Or I'm just going to watch how you work this out. I'm along for the ride.
You know, just to add kind of a practical point to this, you know, I plan my month out. I use Outlook and a calendar and activities and commitments that I've made or planned out for the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about what's going to happen the next day, and it's not like I'm just walking around saying, "Oh, I'm just going to go this way, and then I'm going to let myself go that way, whatever the spirit leads me." But inside of whatever plan I'm doing that's planned, it's so much better for me to let Jesus, the Spirit, his Spirit, guide me in the moment. You know, I'll go to a meeting, and the meeting is boring, or the meeting is something that I have to present something or whatever. Well, and I've prepared for that, or I'll do that. But it's someplace, just let yourself go. Let myself go into him. I don't know how else to say it. We talked about, you know, we've talked about there is only one self, that's God.
Right.
Yeah. So we've forgotten, you know, through Adam or whatever, that you know, that we think that we ourself is, you know, we're, but to, in Christ, we come back to ourself, folds into God, and there we are one self with him in the moment, yeah. and day by day, despite our planning. I mean, in along with our planning and what we plan to do.
I think of that scripture, man makes his plans, but God directs his steps.
Yeah.
God says, yeah, go ahead and plan.
Yeah.
But watch how I'm going to work.
Yeah.
In the middle of that and through that. And sometimes it takes a different direction, and we have to be aware of that. And Arnold, I'm with you. How do we lose ourselves in the one self of Christ? That's the day-by-day challenge. When am I thinking for myself and my own agenda and for my own needs, and need to stop and think, wait a minute, Father, I want to lose myself in you. Where is your heart? What are you thinking? What are your desires? And it's a hard one to explain in practical terms for people. It's again one of those mystical experiences, one of those deep spiritual things that I think as we grow in Christ, we learn more and more how that happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't, we just all of a sudden don't ever think for ourselves anymore. I think we go through every day. That always is a part of us, and there's always a day-to-day challenge. And yeah. And so every situation presents itself as another opportunity to think God self rather than myself.
Sure.
Sounds like a lot of babbly.
Well, no, but you know, Dennis, in a way, when I do my walk in the morning and I ask that my ears are open and mm-hmm. my eyes see that God says, "Oh, you ask me something, and I'll provide for you. I'll give mm-hmm. it to you." You know, mm-hmm. So I more and more I can lose myself into that assurance that I that
there you go.
That, now, even though you know you get involved in a project or go a meeting or mm-hmm. Interaction mm-hmm. with somebody or playing golf or pickleball, whatever it might be, and you're not. I'm not constantly saying, "Oh gosh, I've got to smile at that person," but God answered. God, all I have to do is ask, and He. The more I'm opening up to receiving what I've asked for,
that's right.
It happens.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Walking in the Spirit is an exciting adventure.
Yeah.
And it's scary for some people to think about. Well, what am I going to say, or how's this going to work out, or God, are you made a promise, and so that all that stuff, you know, it's part of our typical self life, and learning to put those aside, learning to walk around that and lose ourselves in God, and then realize, wow, this is fun, this is what I've been after all this time. And oftentimes myself, I'd say, sorry, God, I prejudged this one. I had no idea this outcome. And I'm far rather better off for how it's turned out, how you did this, and than what I've tried to do or say. That's the adventure, guys.
Yeah. To me, that doesn't mean that I don't have to plan for the day. Or you know, prepare for something I'm going to do.
In fact, Arnold.
I mean, there's plenty of room for that. But you know what? I might be 10 minutes late to a meeting just because I spent a little time extra with somebody else. And you know, it might be, I don't go out of my way to be late to something, but you know, there's certainly plenty of room to let Jesus just direct our steps during the day.
Is this what people say? Live in the moment. Is this what they mean?
Yeah, you know, I used to wonder what that was. It was so common in pop psychology. Oh, you got to live in the moment. And you know, and I try to do that more and more, and I had classes on it, you know. I don't think it's taken on a whole different meaning for me today.
Exactly.
I mean, right now we are living in the moment. Mm-hmm. I believe this conversation is filled with this Spirit. I know it is.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel that way, Drifter?
Oh, yeah. Very much.
Yeah. And just the fact that you got on this morning, Drifter, and we haven't seen you in a while, you're in the moment, man.
your conversation, I'm thinking, listening and thinking, basically for me, is I don't realize it until somebody points it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a few hours later, or maybe even days or weeks, that all of a sudden, for some reason, it comes back to me, and I'm living it and seeing just how he was, you know, there making things fit. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going, wow. I lived right through that and didn't even see it. You know, didn't even know.
No, that's, I so agree. It's the way it happens. I don't have eyes for it at the moment, but I'm trusting God. And then looking back with Beck, it's always easier to look back than forward, isn't it? But,
yes, it's free.
But looking back, living in this relationship as we do with Christ, boy, yeah. A lot of things become a lot more evident that, yeah, he's there. He was tracking. We didn't see it at the moment, but he's in the middle of it. What a confidence that gives us. Go ahead and make your plans. Go ahead and set up some agenda. And God says, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah. You know, Drifter, hey, I'm sure you make a plan to go to work at Amazon every day. I mean, and the fact you're still employed, you probably show up there most of the time, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with making a plan and doing it. But, you know, there's plenty of room for God all around that.
In my life, particularly Arnold. Yes, very much so.
You know, you've got that deep, gravelly voice, and, you know, you got your own style that's unique. But I don't know if you even realize how much you bless people. To even hear you, I have to get closer to the screen here. But you've got such wisdom, and the Spirit shows. Speaks to me through you, and I just I mean that as a compliment, as a thank you.
Well, thank you, Arnold. I've been told that so many different times by so many different people, and I'm thinking, I don't see where you're coming from, because I sure didn't. I didn't plan it. I mean, and I don't even know what you hear or see in me. Yeah. But
mm-hmm.
Well, but that's true for me too, Drifter. I don't know. But I don't have to worry about it, because you know, it's Jesus and living through me. You think about it. Each one of us three that are on this call, the conversation, are the face of Jesus to somebody else.
Amen.
You know, I look at Dennis. I can't see your picture right now, Drifter, but I look at somebody's face, and I realize, oh, that's God looking back at me through that face, speaking to me through that person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the same is true for us, if as people realize it, and even if they don't realize it, things like we've talked about before, expression of goodness or gracious or blessing, that's an international voice, or mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. a smile in any language is a smile.
That's right.
Oh,
agreed. But guys, do you believe that even through a frown of somebody looking at you, or some expression of disgust, can God be speaking in that?
Oh, so much. Yes. When somebody loses, I, I, The other day, I was playing pickleball. Pickleball, I don't know. Many people don't know what it is, but it's a good, fun, fast sport, you know, like kind of like tennis. But you're close enough that you can hear everybody. And people lose their temper. You know, they get, you know, generally they're doing good, but, you know, they get mad and, you know, and even in something like that, God can speak to me and say, oh, that person needs blessing or encouragement, or I need to learn something from that. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for showing me that one.
And see, it comes back to that living in the moment and saying, okay, God, what am I seeing here?
Uh-huh.
Because it's, you're allowing me to see this. You're allowing me to feel this. And, and you're all in all. What is it that I'm sensing or needing to, how do I respond? All of this is in that moment and recognizing God is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing himself through that. That's hard for us to gather that through mean people, God could be expressing himself. How is that even possible? But see, that's where our eyes are open to justify God in all things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not suggesting here that people's malicious or say violent things upon our lives as God. No, we have to sort through that. We have to sense and know that in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when we see that or being accosted by that kind of people, we turn and walk away and say, nah, that's really outside the scope of what God is, I think, doing for me. But nevertheless, God is still superintending somehow.
Sure. Well, even walking away, Dennis, even walking away from it, mm-hmm. Can be that God may have just said, you know, don't be part of this conversation. Step away from it. Yeah. The best thing to do is say nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And more and more, guys, what I am finding is when I'm confronted with these kinds of people or these kinds of expressions or attitudes, my heart and my eyes tend to want to look through that outward expression.
Yeah.
And seeing a soul that's really in torment,
mm-hmm.
or someone that is really struggling with their personal issues in life, I tend to, it doesn't mean that I get all soft, but it does. I thank God that there's a compassion that wells up in saying, you meant harm, but I know what's really going on here. And I pray that you'll see yourself or be released or free from that. There's going to come a day, guys, as we are learning and seeing Christ unveiled in us. I believe there's going to be a day in which we will have the power and the authority to liberate people like that. We'll say a word to them, be free. That's what our calling ultimately is, to be liberators. And to look through outward expressions of people and seeing the bondage and the prison that they're in and being able to just set people free just by maybe not even a word, but like we've talked earlier, maybe an expression, a touch,
mm-hmm.
and set people free.
Sure. Jesus did that in a number of situations that are described in the gospel. Wow. You know, he walked somebody that was a demon possessed.
Mm-hmm.
He'd come up and just with his blessing would set that person free.
Yeah, isn't he such an illustration of that?
You know, he said greater things. Yeah.
I look at him. He was such an example of what we're talking about, how he interacted with people, how he confronted evil people and hypocritical people. Yeah, he got testy. But for the most part, it was out of a heart of love, hoping to set people free, and he did. He set a lot of people free, and that's what our whole intention and training and calling is to be representatives of him in this age, setting others free, setting the world free.
True.
What
I just had this thought, though. It's same token when Jesus saw blatant evil in the Pharisees,
right?
He did not hold back from saying, you vipers, you snake, you desert. I mean, calling evil evil, but loving at the same time and blessing those. Because in the very end, they don't even know what they're doing, Father. They're bless them.
Those words
on the cross in the agony he was in.
Wow. And that proves, aren't just what you're saying. Be able to, in that dying moment, be able to say to people, Father, they don't have any idea what they're doing.
Sure.
So that puts proper context to why he got angry at people. The anger was, do you realize how hypocritical you are?
Sure.
Get out of that. Drifter, you were going to say something.
Well, what my comment was, he did it in very few words. Very, very spoken to the point.
Yeah. He didn't need a lot of lecturing, did he?
No.
I
remember the woman that was caught in adultery. And he just tells her, okay, any one of you without sin, pick up the first stone and throw it. And then he tried to ask her, he said, well, where is everybody at? and she says, well, I don't know, they're all left. He says, I don't think anybody can condemn you, and I don't either. So.
Yeah, that's such a wonderful example of love, not condemnation.
Yeah. How he set her free.
Yeah.
He set her free in those words. And the words to her condemners, guys, in a way, indirectly, was an attempt to set them free.
Yeah, to everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately they did, because they had to admit, well, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I ain't going to throw no stone.
Exactly. He who is without sin, help yourself. Whoa. That is a liberating, that's a liberating word, causing people to look at themselves and say, yeah, okay, God, you're right. You're right, Jesus. I have no business being big judgmental here. Wow.
I can see God in the context of absolute love, love beyond what I can comprehend. And we talked before that rather than an angry, condemning, punishing type of a God, he is none of that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if anything, he helps us correct ourselves when we don't realize something, don't realize him. But behind everything of God, in everything is love.
Amen.
Yeah.
Reconciling love. Come back, restore back to how I have initially created you to be free, to be whole.
Yeah.
To live in this union, to live in the absolute consciousness of God and me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And so here we are, guys.
Yeah.
This is our opportunity. This is our challenge every day. walking that out,
to
learning how
me,
what it means.
To me, it's a mind-boggling to realize that is the image I is created in, and that is the image that I am supposed to be coming to.
Yeah. All of us do, Drifter. Are we seeing that for ourselves? Are we stepping into that? Are we realizing that in Christ there that image is fulfilled?
I'm seeing him work it out slow but sure, yes.
Amen.
You
Amen.
know, and just listening to what we've talked about here, what I've said and what you said, just for me, open, ask, and you'll get it. You'll receive. Ask to open my eyes.
Amen.
Ask to have me hear you. God will take care of the rest, day by day.
Amen. Yeah, he moves so well. Wow. Guys, I have so enjoyed having this conversation. I've missed it. We've had a little couple of weeks of a hiatus here. And so glad to be able to get back on track and having these edifying, to me, are really inspiring conversations. As you said earlier, seeing Christ in each of us, hearing each other express Christ. This is a very fulfilling time, and we encourage anybody else who happens to watch or listen to us by this recording, our prayer is that you too will be edified and strengthened and encouraged in your moment-to-moment walk with Christ in you. So,
So next week we're going to do the unveiling part 10.
we may get to it, may not. We'll see, Richard. There is so much that's involved. What Drifter is referring to, for our audience's sake, is the I'll link the accompanying article I released this last week, and I've been working on this series. It's an exciting thing for me. We've touched on little pieces of it, and there's more that we could probably do in the future. So we'll see how that works out.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks,
All right.
guys. What a great time. Have a good the rest of the day, your week. Continue to walk in Jesus. Live in his moment.
Yeah. God's blessing to each of you. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thanks, Drifter, for coming on today.
Yes. See you later. Take care, you guys.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye now.